Chapter 25. Now, I told you we're going to start a brand new series this morning for Sunday mornings. And it's just going to be 3 or 4 weeks. But we have here at King James Baptist Church what might be called an aging population. That is, we've got a lot of old folks and no kids. And I want to address for the next couple of weeks an issue that faces us seniors and people who are getting on in years. So I'm going to bring us a series on embracing the sunset, referring to the sunset years of our life. And the Bible said in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8, "Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people." Psalm 37, 25 said, "I have been young, and now am old." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the liberty to be here. Lord, it's a blessing to see Nick and Chelsea. Lord, we remember all the folks that have prayer requests this morning, have issues, Brother Henry and Sister Marilyn, Sister Carolyn's family, and Brother Carol. And just seems like everywhere we look, people have a need for a touch from Almighty God. And I pray, Lord God, you might be gracious this morning and meet all those needs. Now, Lord, help us to preach this morning. We acknowledge, we confess our need for thy help, and thy strength. Be with our mind, be with our lips. I pray, O God, help us to be faithful to thy book, to be a blessing to thy people, and to bring glory to thy great name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's no secret that from birth, we start the process of growing old until we reach a point where we're constrained by our body, our soul, and our spirit to acknowledge that we're old. We'll put it off as long as possible, though. We were on this track from birth. Why it takes us by surprise, fills us with fear and gloom, is somewhat of a mystery. Leon Trotsky wrote once, very aptly, "Old age is the most unexpected of all things that can happen to a man." Now, that's a profound statement. We see it approach day after day and year after year and never see it coming to us. It's always to another. And then it seems like we wake up out of our fog and our stupor one day, and there we are, old. And we're surprised and shocked about how we got there. We cut our teeth as babes, only to lose them in old age. We learn to walk as a child and then totter as old men. We learn to talk, only to return to mumbling. We learn not to wet our pants, and then buy the largest box of Depends we can find. Growing old and having problems with some of our parts failing is only normal. The psychology of our day and pop culture wants to deny and pretend. This is the greatest generation there ever was for not facing anything. We buy wrinkle cream, we get Botox, we have boob jobs, tummy tucks, lifestyle lifts, male enhancement, Viagra, plus 50 vitamins, memberships in the YMCA, natural-looking hair dye, snow-white dentures, invisible hearing aids, and the fashions of the under-20 crowd. Lord, help us. In every stage of life, there are changes and adjustments. Growing old should be beautiful and fulfilling, and yet with its own special challenges. Declining physically, but blossoming in wisdom and grace. I believe that the secret to a healthy, happy, and useful old age is embracing it, not hating it. Embracing it, not fearing it. Embracing it and not clinging to what was. Embracing it and not longing for what is gone. We walk gracefully into the sunset, and home is at the end of the road. A Christian's favorite saying ought to be, see you at the house. See you at the house. One of these days, we're going to leave our loved ones. We'll take a departure. And the next time we see them, it's going to be at the house. In my Father's house. Almost can't wait. Now, the generation in which you live pretends and denies that we're growing old. It's not fashionable to get old anymore. And so we've got a whole generation of people in their declining years, in the sunset years, who are terrified beyond words with the prospect of getting old and getting cancer, having heart attacks, losing your eyesight, your hearing going bad, lumbago, and whatever it is. And we've got a whole generation of people that once they realize they're growing old, live in a state of terror, fear, and dismay. Because they've been brainwashed by pop culture and psychology to think that, oh, you can maintain your youth. And you can't. We would have been wiser to have talked to folks and conditioned folks with the reality of old age and the truth of old age and prepared them and equipped them for old age. It's quite like young girls getting married and they're 17, 18, 19. Of course, now they're 25 and 26. And they get married and they're going to be a homemaker and a wife and they don't know how to clean house. And they don't know how to cook, and they don't have to take care of a baby. Now, they're in the middle of it, and they are not prepared for it. Now, I'm afraid that in large measure, most of our seniors these days are not really prepared for their old age. Of course, everybody should be aware that we're going to get old, and you can't stop that train. Now, this series message is going to deal with three things. The body, which we will deal with today. The declining of the body, the becoming frail, the loss of function. Then next week we will deal with old age and the soul. And then the third week we will deal with the old age and the spirit. And you really need all three to get a complete picture because it takes all three to make you, you. So today we'll deal with the decline of the body. A fella named Shel Silverstein, figure out what nationality he is, wrote this little poem. It's called The Little Boy and the Old Man. And I thought this was kind of apropos. We start out as children, and then if we live long enough, we enter our second childhood. The little boy and the old man. Said the little boy, sometimes I drop my spoon. Said the old man, I do that too. The little boy whispered, I wet my pants. I do that too, laughed the little old man. Said the little boy, I often cry. The old man nodded, so do I. But worst of all, said the boy, it seems grown-ups don't pay attention to me. And he felt the warmth of a wrinkled old hand. I know what you mean, said the little old man. We become irrelevant as we fall apart. Phyllis Diller once said, she said, I have so many liver spots, I ought to come with a side of onions. This week, a 95-year-old woman married a 98-year-old man to become the world's oldest newlyweds. They're registered at Bed, Sponge Bath, and Beyond. Now, the truth is, once you're born, you are on the road to old age. Barring any unfortunate thing that would cause your untimely demise, you will get old. And yet somehow it sneaks up on us. We're shocked when we get a report that our liver function is not what it ought to be, or our A1C has been 350 for the last 6 months. Because we brainwash ourselves with the help of our society into thinking that we're going to be young forever and old age only happens to others. Now, the Bible is a book of reality. Whether you face things or not, God always does. And whether our society wants to prepare you for the changes and stages in life, God always does. There's a great deal of information in the Bible about babies and infants, about children and young people. There's a great deal in the Bible about seniors. And nowhere does God ever pretend that everything's going to be all right, and that it will never be your turn, and that you're never going to come down with some serious ailment. God just tells it like it is. God does everything he can to equip us beforehand so that we are psychologically attuned to the changes in our lives and in our bodies. Let me give you some examples from this blessed old book that maybe you missed some of these. In 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 18, there's a story there about Eli, and Eli's sons are destroyed by the Lord. And the Bible said in verse 18 that Eli fell off the seat backward and broke his neck and died, for he was an old man and heavy. Now, the Lord could have left out that last phrase, but the Lord deals with reality. And the reality is that as we get older, we put on a few pounds. The very idea in contemporary society, a 50-year-old woman, a 60-year-old woman, still trying to be a size 3 or a size 4. 3 or 4 kids later, and she wants her belly to be as flat as it was when she was 17. What planet are you from? That's usually from a guy 40 pounds overweight with a bald head and a gray beard. Okay for him to mature, but you're supposed to stay a hottie. The truth is that in old age, we put on weight. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 11, the Bible said, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken. That's a good word for old age, isn't it? Stricken. It's like smitten, you understand? Stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Turn on your TV today, watch it for 6 hours, and there will be at least a dozen commercials on postmenopausal this and that and the other thing. Oh, preacher, you should not talk about those things in the pulpit. God talks about life. Do you understand? There should not be a subject that you cannot talk about from this pulpit if it deals with God's people. Now, I think you ought to be tasteful. I think you ought to use right terminology. I don't think you ought to be gross or tasteless or that kind of thing. But we're all big boys and girls here today. Somebody say amen. And one of the physical changes as we enter that part of life where we begin to decline is the cessation of certain things that occur on a regular basis. And most of the women say, thank God. Amen. Amen. Happiest years of our life. You see, God doesn't overlook anything. God made us, and God knows us. Amen. And he knows those things that cause us problems. But what I want you to see is that there's a natural progression to aging. And it comes with certain decline in our physical and mental state. In Genesis chapter 27 and verse 1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. Now at least half the congregation can get in touch with that this morning. Amen? Because most of us got these peepers. Now, some of y'all are so vain, you don't want anybody to know you can't see and you're blind as a bat. So you bought you some of them bright blue contacts. I told a lady one time, I said, you've got beautiful eyes. She said, my eyes are brown. I'm looking at blue. She bought them. You can get those at the Walmarts for a few bucks. As we grow older, our eyesight begins to decline. Mine is in serious state of disrepair. And all the king's men and all the king's horses haven't helped it a bit either. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible said, and now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. This was about Brother Carroll and Brother Henry, and Tommy, it snuck up on me. I didn't realize you were so gray. You must be really old. Now, now I'm not going to say anything to any of our ladies about their gray hair or their Clairol. The gray hair is found, you know, the hoar head is found with the old man. In 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 23, the rest of the acts of Asa, and it goes on and talks about, nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. Now, that could be fallen arches. That could be ingrown toenails. It could have been all kind of things. Yeah, that word too. I'm not going to use words I can't spell. I'll tell you that right now. But the point is, as he got older, the thing that went first in him was his feet. It got to where it was hard to walk and shoes hurt. And he was constantly trying to find a new pair of slippers and, you know. So why? This is part of the process of the decline of old age. It affects all of us somewhere, some way. Nobody escapes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 1, the Bible said that so-and-so had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old men, or him that stooped for age. What do we call that? Stooped. Oh, now they got fancy words for it today, though. I can't remember what it is right off the top of my head. Osteoporosis. I told you I wasn't going to use words I couldn't spell. But what it means is you're bent and stooped and your bones are brittle. And if you stump your toe, you're liable to break it. You ever see them old people? They used to be 5 foot 11 and a half, and now they're 4 foot 7 and a quarter. See, I'm not the man I used to be. And if you put today's picture beside of yesteryear's picture, you think you're talking to a dwarf. It's got to be somebody else. And you know what? That happened without your realization for the most part. I'm not doing bad. I'm okay. I'm pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. Stooped for age. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. So they sought for a fair damsel. And the damsel was very fair, but the king knew her not. Now David is declining in health, and they've went and sought for a young woman for him to invigorate him. But it doesn't work. The king just looks at her and says, "Hey, sweetie, how you doing?" and shook her hand. "Would you pass the prunes?" Why did David do that? Because in verse 1 it said, King David was old and stricken in years. You know what that is? That's a decline. In your drive. That's why you see all those commercials hour after hour, day after day on your TV set. They're embarrassing in mixed company. They're not necessary. Listen, all that stuff is supposed to break down and quit working after a while. Did it ever strike you? It strikes me funny. That they have all them commercials on there for these men's products to aid and assist and to boost, right? What good is it if mama's as old as you are? If I had invented that stuff, I would have kept it secret until I invented something for the other half. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible said, "And every man with his staff in his hand for very age." Now, in the old days, they carried a staff. And I really think we ought to go back to that because it gives you more reach. Them little old hurricanes they got, you can't beat nobody off of them. They're collapsible, you know, made out of real thin aluminum. And if you hit anybody, it just folds up. If you got a staff, amen, mugger beware. The point is, though, we get older, we become unstable. We stumble in the shower. And the wife comes around and says, "Everybody, you all right?" Yeah. "Well, what happened?" "Nothing." The older we get, it seems like the less stable we are. You know, a young man stands like this, proud and strong. You know how old men stand? They get stability this way, then they get stability that way. This is the maximum stability stance. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we'll not go there simply because it's long, but Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is an allegory about old age. And it talks about when the grinders are few, talking about missing teeth. It talks about when the light is dim through the windows, talking about the eyes. And that whole thing is an allegory about an old man where the sound of the grasshopper startled you and where they can't sleep. All the things that occur to us and happen to us in the process of aging is mentioned and discussed in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It's all about getting old. Nobody can say, if they read a Bible, and I'm only interested in Christians. Let me stop here and put a parenthesis in this. I'm not interested one iota in psychology and all that nonsense that you can get on the computer that deals with every race and every sex and every religion and all that, and they have to use all these terms in a general sense or in a broad sense because they have to encompass and deal with everybody. I'm a Baptist preacher, and I'm dealing with God's people, and my only perspective is folks who are getting old that belong to Jesus. Amen. Now, so if you're saved by God's grace and you're getting old, then you ought to be aware of the changes that are coming up on you. They've been coming up on us for 6,000 years. And if you read that book, you can't help but see page after page, an incident here, a story there, a detail over here, a verse over here that deals with certain aspects of growing old and the physical and mental decline that takes place. Now, your society may deny that, so that when it finally occurs to you that you're filled with fear. You should have been aware of it all the time and embracing it day by day as it occurs. Now, I mentioned all those verses just to show you and to help you understand that in life there are stages. You never get to a place where you stay where you're at. People say, I just don't want to get old. Too bad. The only way not to get old is blow your brains out. I don't recommend that one. Getting old is preferable.
Amen.
A fellow named W. Somerset Maugham, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, wrote a little thing called Summing Up. And he had this little quote in there that I thought was excellent. The complete life, the perfect pattern, includes old age as well as youth and maturity. The beauty of the morning and the radiance of noon are good, but it would be a very silly person who drew the curtain and turned out the light in order to shut out the tranquility of the evening. Old age has its pleasures, which, though different, are not less than the pleasures of youth. That is, you just swap one set of liking things for another. Did you ever notice that kids can't wait to do that? Every kid you know, there's something that happens on when they become a teenager. It's going to be 13, and that's a big event. There's something that happens when you're 16. There's a law in physics, you've got to get kissed on your 16th birthday. Because nobody wants to be 16 and never been kissed. Except God's people. We get to go to Wendy's. When you turn 18, you can vote, join the military and get shot at. When you turn 21, there's nothing there for a Christian because we don't drink. Amen. 30 is a big deal. 50 is a big deal. And I'm fixing to turn 70, and y'all better make it a big deal. Hold on, I got to clean my eyes. I can't see my notes. Have I made it clear that we're going to decline? That as time passes, you're going to get weaker, not stronger. Duller, not smarter. Things that you've taken for granted since childhood will begin to wane and disappear. But life goes on. I have a note here in the margin of this that says, live as long as you're alive. Some folks, when they figure out they're getting old, just quit. Oh, Lord, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, then do something else. But in Jesus' name, do something. Don't just sit down in your rocker and quit. Used to, 100 years ago when you were 50, you were prehistoric. The life expectancy was very short 100 years ago. And when you got to be 50, life really was about over. But that's not true anymore. We got people in their 80s who are still going and having a great time. People say, well, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to get this. Why don't you wait till you get it? Do you ever think about this? People are sitting around fearful of getting something. 90% of the things you get, you can live with. Heart disease is a terrible thing to have, but you can live 30, 40 years with it. Arthritis, bursitis, rheumatism, those are terrible things, but you can live with them. Now, there are some terrible things that come to old people that shorten our life, and we have to take them seriously. But the honest truth is, if you look at all of humanity, most old folks are still pretty up and still pretty mobile and still pretty agile and still living a pretty good life. And you can't quit just because you're starting to get a little bad hearing, or your eyes are a little dim, or now when you get up in the morning, it takes you 15 minutes to get the creaks out of your back. Our generation just wants to give up and quit. We pretended it wasn't going to happen. Now it's happened, and we're overwhelmed and dismayed. There's a lot that us old folks can do. We're going to talk about that in another session or two. But today we're just hopefully dealing with the body and the decline. There's a couple of things that we ought to learn from this process of aging, because the signs of it are all around us all the time. Everywhere you go, you can't go anyplace without running into old folk. And you can't possibly not know some of the bad things about old age, because every old person on the planet is destined to tell you. Here's what I learned from all that I just gave you, and I've got 10 minutes to sum it up. There are periods to life. There's infancy, like this little jewel laying right here, not a care in this world. Doesn't have to do anything for herself. If I could stay a certain age, I think this would be it. Everybody loves you to death. Everybody can't possibly do enough for you. All you got to do is, and there's 15 people trying to give you something. You talk about got it made, son, this is got it made right here. Then there's childhood. Childhood's a great time. Did you know that in childhood, you know, I'm talking about 6, 7, 5, 6, 7 along in there, that from this Christmas to this next Christmas is 3 millennium? I remember one time my mama talking about Christmas was coming, and I think she started at Thanksgiving telling us about Christmas. I thought I would die a senior citizen before it finally got here. At what point in your life has anything stood still for very long? We're always in a flux. We're like the rolling sea. Life never gets stagnant. It never stays in one place. It will, I guarantee, it will move on. And you better move with it. Now, with that comes the decline of the mental and the physical. Those things are inevitable. I told my wife the other day, I used to sit, I'll just tell you a personal story. I used to sit and study. And I would read 3 books at one time. I did that for years. I would sit in my chair and I put a book on this side and a book on that side and a book in my lap. And my theory is that your brain doesn't get tired. It gets cluttered. I would sit and read until I started having to read it again because I couldn't remember what I just read. It got fuzzy. I'd take that book and put it down and I'd take this book. And I'd pick it up and start reading. And it was as fresh as day. And I'd read that for a while until I got to where I was saying, oh, now what did he just say? And I have to back. If I had to start rereading it, then it's time to put it down. Then I pick up that third book. And by the time I'd done that and got tired that second time, this one was fresh again. I used to read 3 books at a time. I used to could juggle a lot of balls at once. Not so much anymore. I'm down to a book and a memory. things that normally I would have been able to put in my brain and remember it on cue, if I don't make a note, it's gone. Amen? Is that dismaying? Yeah, because I liked it the way I was. And it would be a wonderful thing if I could have stayed that way forever. However, the biological clock keeps running, and unfortunately, it's running down, not up. How do we handle this decline? And now, next week we're going to talk a lot about attitude and a whole bunch of things. We're going to deal with the soul. But how do we deal with the falling apart of our body? Would y'all be honest with me this morning? I'm going to tell y'all the honest truth. Y'all can tell yourselves the honest truth. Don't tell me. I've just always liked me a lot. And I just always kind of liked my body. You can't believe how accustomed and used to this thing I am. And I know it's not perfect, but I've managed to learn how to control it and operate it, manipulate it pretty well over the years. And the very idea of it ceasing to function like I've become accustomed is discouraging. Somebody say amen. But it's going to do it anyway. So now I've got a choice to make. How do I handle this change? How do I get through this period with a good outlook, a healthy outlook, where I can enjoy my sunset years? How do I do that? Now, a lot has to do with attitude, but attitude is a... Oh, my soul. It's almost impossible to overestimate the value of attitude. But here's the number one thing us aging people need to remember and to incorporate into our life. The closer your fellowship with Jesus Christ, the less fear and dread in old age. I read some statistics, secular statistics. And over 95% of seniors become more spiritual as they grow old. Now, their definition of spiritual and ours are not the same. But we become more introspective. We look more at the end of days and the transition. That's what they mean by spiritual. I have found from personal experience and observation, as well as reading, that the people who are best equipped, who handle the changes and the decline the best, are those who have a long-standing personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't mean just saved. You know, you can be saved, washed in the blood of a lamb, and be scared to death of everything under God's big blue sky. You can be without any witness of the Spirit. You can quench it. You can grieve Him. If you spend your whole life living for the present and self and family, and God is just an add-on, there won't be much comfort in your religion and your Christianity as you grow older. But those people who have walked with the Lord and been close to the Lord, those who have read His book and imbibed it into their heart, those who see the Lord as their comfort and their stay and their strength, and who embrace the idea of finally getting home, those people deal with the decline of the physical much, much better than those who do not. That is, buddy, get as close to God as you can and stay there. Walk with Him, talk with Him, love Him, embrace Him. And He will comfort and He will sustain. He becomes your strength. He becomes your counselor. The Bible said, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. The closer the fellowship, the more you can enjoy and embrace God. old age. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 30, and of course this little narrative comes from verse 26 through 30, verse 29 said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." That's a fella who lived for God and loved the Lord and had fellowship with the Lord, and evidently the Lord kind of whispered in his ear about his time of departure. And that old man said, "Lord, let thy servant depart in peace as thou hast said." Death and departing were not a terror. They didn't bring fear and regret. He was ready to go. He embraced the leaving because he had had a fellowship with God, and he knew that when this life was over, his fellowship with the Lord would be permanent for the rest of forever. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60, there's a story there about Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. You know what they're doing to Stephen? They're stoning him to death. Stephen has been a servant of the Lord. He has lived for the Lord. He has declared the Lord. And now he's meeting a rather violent and untimely death. But he's not terrified of the death. Matter of fact, he's so calm and peaceful about it, he can say to the Lord, "Forgive them," because they don't know what they're doing. And he's looking steadfastly up into heaven. Stephen left this world in peace. See why? Because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Who said that? Paul the aged. He served God ever since his conversion, years and years and years. He walked with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. He lived for the Lord. He preached the Lord. The Lord had delivered him in all kinds of situations, faith and confidence. He had a close personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm ready. I'm ready. And the time of my departure is at hand." Being old, he wasn't filled with fear. There was no dread. There was no apprehension. It's almost like Paul is saying, "Thank God the bus is here." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way we ought to be able to get old. But it requires that we have one, faith in God, two, that we fellowship with him. Not just adopt a name, just say, "Oh, I'm a Christian," or "I go to such and such." It's that daily walk, it's that communion, it's that fellowship, it's that relationship that gives us that confidence, that carries us through the declining of the body, that makes us able to talk to the Lord and say, "Lord, now you know I can't hear like I used to." "Speak up, Lord. That still small voice won't cut it." You ever been there? If you hadn't, you probably will be. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 33 through 37, he said, "Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother." Now, this is one of the prophets, and he's gotten old, and it's time to die. And they're trying to encourage him to go on. And he said, "No, enough is enough. Let me turn back. Let me die at home. And let me be buried out there in the back of Mom and Daddy." He wasn't fighting death. He wasn't kicking and screaming and begging. I've got a book called Voices from the Other Side. And it's a collection of things men have said on their deathbed. And Ingersoll, who was a great atheist and very renowned, made a big show of his disbelief in God, was in great pain when he was dying. And as he took his last breath, he grasped his nurse by the hand and squeezed it till he squeezed the blood out. And he said, all that I own, would I give for just 1 minute of life. And he died. Payne, who was an atheist, who corrupted our school system, by the way, when he was dying, he was so fearful of death that when his nurse came in, he heard the door creak. He sat up straight up in the bed and screamed at the top of his lung, "It's the Nazarene! It's the Nazarene!" These men, atheists all, had no peace in their old age and no security and no comfort in their dying day. The people who die gracefully, the people who live with joy and victory, the people who overcome the obstacles that come with aging are those people who have a fellowship and a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that today, you say, "Well, preacher, I'm a Christian." I'm not talking about being a Christian. Good night down here in the South, everybody's a Christian. And especially out here in the jail, you know, they're all saved. That's why we call it our ministry to prisoners, saints in prison. I'm talking about a personal relationship where you know him and he knows you, and you share your burdens and he gives comfort, and where you totter on the brink of collapse and he strengthens and he encourages. I'm talking about that kind of a fellowship. You need to think about it this morning, and here's why. You're not getting any younger. I don't know if that's occurred to some of y'all or not, but you're not getting any younger. You're not getting any stronger. You're not getting any prettier. You're not getting any smarter. You are at the point in life where you're starting to fall apart. And you better learn how to deal with it. You better learn how to embrace it. Embracing old age, embracing the sunset, is the only sure way for a happy, fulfilled, beneficial, prosperous old age. That's my idea. Father, we thank you now for your mercy. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us. We don't mean to be gloomy. We don't want to be melancholy or any of those things. Yet, Lord, help us to be wise enough to see what's down the road. Maybe folks are here today and they're young. And oh, they've got forever. Tomorrow morning may be forever. And old age comes quicker than you can possibly imagine. And we'll not remember where our youth and our energy went, but it'll be gone. Help us today, Lord, to prepare for that time. Help us to love thee, clasp our hand in thine, and walk down this road hand in hand with our Savior. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.